Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. I am most grateful to be here this evening. Thank you, Lalita Sakhi Devi, Orvi, and family for giving us this opportunity. I was asked to speak a few words. Today, according to the Vedic calendar, is a very holy and auspicious occasion. It is Shravan Dwadasi, also known as Vijaya. The reason this day is called Vijaya, a day of great victory, is because on this day, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, advented within this world as Vamana Avatar. You can put the air conditioner and volume up because people will stay awake better if they are both up. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami Maharaj narrates this beautiful pastime, which is full of such deep messages that are significantly important for one's happiness and progress within this world. Genealogic table is very interesting. There was Kashyapa Muni. One of his sons was Hiranyakashipu. The son of Hiranyakashipu was Prahlad. Prahlad's son Virochan. And Virochan had a magnanimous personality as his child of the name Bali Maharaj. Quite a variegated family. Bali Maharaj, although he was a very virtuous person in his heart, was in the post of the king of the Daityas, were the enemies of the Daivatas. Because Bali Maharaj pleased his spiritual teacher, Shukracharya, by his faithfulness, by his dedication, and by following his direction of performing proper religious ceremonies, Shukracharya brought the descendants of Bhrigu Muni, very powerful great Brahmins, to perform a yajna or sacrifice. He gained tremendous power and influence. He boarded his chariot, mobilized his armies, and marched to his arch enemy, Indra, right at his capital, Indrapur. Now generally, Indra and the demigods always conquer the asuras. But on this occasion, when he saw Bali Maharaj, he was taken aback. He went to his own spiritual teacher, Brihaspati, and exclaimed, "Look at Bali. Look at the brightness of his body. He could single-handedly destroy all of our armies. And look at his armies. It is formidable. I do not feel we have any possibility of surviving a war against them. Oh, Brihaspati, what shall we do?" Brihaspati, he told Indra, because he has pleased the Brahmins, because he has lived according to pure vows, therefore he's insurmountable. If you try to challenge him, you will be crushed. Best you just quietly, secretly run away and hide. Take refuge in another country. So Indra did that, as did all the devatas. And there was nothing they could do. But their mother, Aditi, was feeling deep distress in her hearts. It is the nature of mother. A real mother, inconveniences to herself are not a problem. But when there's inconvenience to her children, that is intolerable. She loved her children. And here they were. They were meant to be kings, rulers. And they were poverty-stricken beggars. Underground, somehow or other trying to survive. Kashyapa Muni, her husband, was in deep trance of meditation for a long time. All she could do was wait until he came out of his meditation. And when he did, he saw that she had sorrow. The face is the index of the mind. He asked his good wife, "What is the cause of your distress?" And she explained the woes of her heart. He said, "There is only one person that can help, and that is Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you worship Vasudev, then he will fulfill all of your desires." So she asked the process, and he told her how to follow a very, very specialized form of worship called Payobrata. It's a 12-day form of worship of the Guru, worship of the Vaishnavas, worship of the Lord, chanting of mantras, particular type of fasting on milk. So she very, very faithfully followed this Payovrat. And at the end of the 12 days, Lord Narayan appeared before her, holding his celebrated four symbols. Seeing Lord Narayan before her, she was so choked up with ecstatic love. She was trembling and crying. She had no ability to speak. Finally, with great difficulty, she offered her prayers of devotion. And the Lord told her, "I know your heart, and I know the purpose in which you worshipped me. And I will restore your children's kingdom personally. I will become your son. I will enter into the body of your husband Kashyapa Muni, and you worship me in his form, and then I will transfer myself into your womb. So this took place. Aditi was pregnant with the Supreme Lord of all creation within her womb. How amazing, how astounding, how wonderful. The entire creation is within the womb of Mother Nature. Krishna tells in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. By Krishna's grace, by the glance of his mercy, he impregnates the womb of material nature with all living beings. And yet that Lord, who is the father, the mother of all beings, by his own sweet will, not due to any karmic pressure, but by his own love and mercy, he makes his residence in the womb of a woman. And on this day, Shravan Dwadasi, the Lord manifested from her womb before the eyes of Aditi and Kashyapa. He had a beautiful bluish form, like the Indranila gem, large lotus eyes that were casting compassionate, loving glances upon his devotees. His lips red like the bimba fruit, beautiful golden crown bedecked with emeralds and rubies and celestial jewels. He had a cloth wrapped around his body that was as brilliant as lightning. The Kostubha Mani upon his chest in a beautiful flower garland. He had four arms holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Kashyapa and Aditi offered their prayers to the Lord. And then right before their eyes, on this day of Vamana Dwadasi, he assumed the form of a beautiful little dwarf. His complexion was gold. His hair was gold. His eyes were like blooming lotus flowers, although he was very small in size. He captured the hearts of all. And then all the great personalities of the universal creation came to offer gifts to celebrate the Lord's appearance on earth. Lord Brahma gave him a kamandalu, a water pot. Others gave him an umbrella and a stick. Someone else gave him a deerskin to wear. He took the role of a brahmachari, a little sadhu dwarf, because his mission in this incarnation was to beg. How wonderful. Here is the Lord who provides everything for everyone. He is the source of everything that exists. The rain, the planet we live on, the food grains we eat, all the raw materials that create our houses, our clothes, our bodies, the bodies of our loved ones. They are all created by the Lord. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna explains in Gita, I am the supreme proprietor of all planets and all worlds. Everything is my property. The fundamental illusion that keeps everyone entangled in suffering is Janasya Mohoya Mahamameti. That I am this body, and those things in relation to the body are mine. But it is an illusion. Because proprietorship in its true sense means control. Do we really have control over anything? padam padam yadvipadam natesham. In this world, at any moment, we do not know what is going to happen next. We have seen the tsunami that took place in our own great nation of India, in the southern provinces. The United States of America, most powerful country in the world, politically, economically, when Hurricane Katrina, just a couple weeks, came, was on her way, what could they do? President George Bush could send military phalanxes into Iran and Afghanistan. Why didn't he send them to fight against this hurricane that was directly attacking his own country and people? Directly, specifically, and immediately. Attacking of other countries was based on theoretical, speculative possibilities that they may attack. But here was an enemy coming directly, right off its shores. Why not send their enemies? Destroy this hurricane. No power. All he could do is tell the same thing Brihaspati said to the demigods. Get out. Evacuate. Hide. That is the power of nature. That is the uncertainty of this world. And ultimately, in the form of time, everything is taken away from us. We do not want to grow old, but it's happening. We do not want to get diseased, but it may happen. Is our lives, is anything really under our control? We can borrow. We are borrowing this body for some time. Material nature has given us. And we can take care. But ultimately, when the eviction notice comes, what can we say? We must surrender. Haribo. So in fact, time is controlling everything within this universal creation. And Krishna tells in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, time I am. How wonderful. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Please try to understand, it's the most beautiful concept. When we understand this concept in truth, we can experience the highest spiritual joy that is eternal. Krishna says, janma karma cha me devyam evam yo vititatva tatyakva deham punara janma naiti mamiti sorujuna. For one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, that person never takes birth again in this material world but attains my abode. Attaining my abode means immediately experiencing the Lord's presence within our heart, which is the supreme and ultimate shelter for all living beings. And at the time of departure from this body, attaining the eternal kingdom of the Lord. So Krishna tells in Gita that I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. He's the provider, the sustainer. But yet he appears as a little brahmachari who has a stick and wears a deer skin. And he goes out according to his chosen profession to be a beggar. The Lord puts himself in such a subordinate role that he's about to beg from a king who everything that king has been supplied by the Lord, but the Lord is coming to beg from him. So Vamanadeva went to the banks of the Narmada River, where Bali Maharaj with the priests who descendants of Bhrigu Muni were performing yajna. When Bali Maharaj saw that beautiful little boy, beautiful boy who was effulgent, Bali Maharaj felt great happiness. He stood up, stopped everything he was doing, along with his priests, and he welcomed this little Brahmin, offered him a seat. Then Bali Maharaj, who was then the king of the universe, undisputed king of the universe, he washed the feet of the Lord. Take that water that washed the feet of this little Brahmin and sprinkled it upon his head with great reverence and devotion. He drank that water. And then he said to the Lord, "Today, my life, my property, my family, my occupation, everything has become auspicious and full of good fortune because the water that has washed your lotus feet has touched my head. Because you are truly a Brahmin. It is my wish to please you. You may ask of me anything you so desire. O Brahmin, I can give you unlimited cows, gold, precious jewels, palaces. I could give you land. I could give you islands, planets, whatever you like. You ask of me. It is my wish." Vamanadeva spoke. First he praised. He praised Bali Maharaja's forefathers. He said, "Your granduncle, Hiranyaksha, what a great personality he was. He was such a great soul. He was so powerful. A heroic king, a great Kshatriya. Not only is he benevolent in giving and charity, but never refuses a good fight. And what a good fight he gave. He was roaming through the universe, conquering all the planets, such a powerful person. And ultimately, the Supreme Lord Vishnu appeared as Varaha Dev to fight him. And he fought so good. It was a long, difficult fight. After much effort, Varaha Dev finally ended the life and gave liberation to Hiranyaksha. But even Varaha Dev was thinking, it was a very good fight. Such a great granduncle you had. Great granduncle." And then there was his brother, Hiranyakashipu. How he fought with Lord Narasingadev. He was searching everywhere. And ultimately, the Lord had to manifest such an extraordinary form to defeat him. So great. And his son Prahlad, one of the greatest of Mahabhagavats, one of the purest and most dedicated devotees. And his son Virochan. When Virochan was approached by Brahmins, he was willing to give everything for their satisfaction. So you are coming in the line of great personalities. So I wish to ask something of you. And I am very confident that whatever I ask, you will give me. Because you are the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Bali Maharaj said, "Yes, whatever you ask for, I will give." Vamanadeva replied, "Please grant me 3 steps of land. I want nothing more. Because a Brahmin must be satisfied with minimal for himself. Otherwise he becomes corrupted. A Brahmin can accept much charity, but only keeps the minimal for his own upkeep. Then he never becomes entangled and always remains pure. So just give me 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj was very much alarmed by this request. 3 steps is all you are asking from me? Through my power, I have conquered the lower planets, the middle planets, all the way through Swarga Loka. The heavenly planets are my property. I'm the king of the universe. And you're asking for me 3 steps of land? When I give in charity, you should know, when I give in charity, it must be ensured that that person that I give to never, for the rest of his or her life, ever wants anything again. That is my vow. When you approach me, you have to take this serious. My charity must satisfy you in this way, that you are perfectly satisfied, that you absolutely need nothing now or for the rest of your life. You are a dwarf. Your steps are so small. What will you do with 3 tiny little steps of land? Who could do anything with 3 tiny little steps of land? Of course, in Bombay, 3 steps of land is worth a lot. But what can you do with 3 steps of land? So ask for something more, please. It is the culture. When you ask a big person, you should ask something big. Otherwise, it's below their dignity. After hearing this, Vamanadev very sincerely replied. He said, "My dear Bali Maharaj, you do not understand. If one's mind and senses are uncontrolled, nothing could ever satisfy such a person. Even if a person conquers the universal creation, even if a person has mass wealth, mass prestige, immense property and facilities, if their mind and senses are not controlled, they will find no true satisfaction. Because satisfaction is not the senses' interactions with the objects of the senses. Real satisfaction is the state of our heart, our inner being. If one does not have that, one cannot be satisfied with any situation. A person who is satisfied with whatever is destined for him or her and finds peace within. We have seen great personalities, great personalities, like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They conquered so much, but they never found a drop of satisfaction in their hearts, because they could not control their mind and senses. But there were kings. Kings who gave up everything for a higher cause, and they were satisfied. So therefore, I am not like you, with no real peace or happiness. I am satisfied within my own heart. So I am satisfied with whatever is destined for me. All I require is 3 steps of land. Please give to me. Bali Maharaj heard this, and he was enlightened. His heart was illuminated by this transcendental knowledge. Vamanadeva was saying, what are we fighting and striving for? According to our duties, we may have to fight and strive to get more, to claim more. But if we're attached to that, if we're thinking that's going to give us happiness, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to be in anxiety. There's no way around it. It is the law of nature. And there is no person that has ever lived throughout the history of creation who has ever been an exception. But the illusion of Maya is we think we'll be an exception. If I get this, if I get that, I will be happy. But happiness must come from our own inner purification, our own inner sanctification, and our own inner integrity. That is where happiness is to be found. Nowhere else. Everything else we can use for that purpose, whether we have it or not. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained, at the time of Mahatma Gandhi, his non-participation movement, he convinced many noble, high-placed Indian citizens who were working for the British government to resign. There was a High Court justice who was actually being paid a lot, a real lot. But under the pressure of Gandhiji's movement, he resigned. And his huge salary became reduced to something that was, you know, just enough to live comfortably. Within a few months, he died of anxiety because he felt that he lost so much. But then Prabhupada gives the example of the 6 Goswamis. Today is the appearance day also of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami, his father and uncles, very great. They were the prime minister and chief minister of the entire kingdom of Bengal. The Nawab Hussein Shah was so indebted to them for their incredibly efficient service that he shared his wealth with them. They were living in magnificent palaces with the finest foods, the most expensive ornaments and clothes. They had tremendous power. They were making the major decisions that affected everyone in the kingdom. They were learned scholars, and they were loved by all. According to today's calculations, they were multi-billionaires. Huge estates, beautiful palaces, mass wealth, power, influence. And they left it all like that. Rupa Goswami, Anupam, the father of Jiva Goswami, just left it. Went to Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami, another uncle, left, went to Vrindavan. Tyakvatura namashesha mandalapati shreinim sadatuchavat. And they were just living with simple kopans, loincloths. That's the only clothes they would wear. They slept under a different tree every night on the hard ground, in the forest. They went out begging for alms to sustain their bodies. Why didn't they die like that High Court justice. They gave up millions of times more than him. Why didn't they die? It is explained they were in the highest ecstasy, the highest transcendental happiness, because they were absorbed in the gopis' mood of love for Krishna. Inner peace, inner satisfaction, that is the only real happiness. So this is the philosophy that Vamana Dev had presented to Bali Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Very happy to see you. Bali Maharaj said, yes, take your 3 steps, O little brahmachari dwarf. I will present, I will give. At that time, the spiritual teacher of Bali became very insecure. Because for a materialistic person who plays the role of a spiritual teacher, it's very, very advantageous to have a wealthy disciple. And who's wealthier than the king of the universe? And he understood what was happening. So Sukracharya became very much annoyed. He said, Bali, you don't know who this person is. This is Lord Vishnu. He has come specifically for the mission of cheating you. He will expand himself. And with his 3 steps, he will cover the entire universe. And you will have nothing. You will have nothing. And he'll give all of your wealth, all of your power, all of your distinction, everything to your worst enemy, Indra. Therefore, you are a rascal for making this promise. But as your guru, I know the scriptures. According to the scripture, there is times and circumstances where you could break your promise. And this is one of them. First of all, before you said your promise, you didn't say Om. So that's a loophole that I have found. And second of all, according to the Shastras and according to tradition, you can break your promise if it's an emergency and it's a matter of life or death, or it's a matter of a great crisis where you could lose so much, then you are justified to tell a lie. So withdraw this promise immediately. Otherwise, you will lose everything, you will suffer, and I will curse you. Bali Maharaj was in a very, very difficult predicament. Here is a very powerful man who is his spiritual teacher telling him, break your promise. And here is a Brahmin who his teacher has just said is the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who's asking him to keep his promise. That is the way the world is it not? No matter what we do, we're put into very difficult predicaments where it's very difficult to make a decision. Yes? However intelligent we are, however many good advisors we have, sometimes decisions just come that are very, very difficult to make. We really don't know what the end result will be. So Bali Maharaj, for some time, he was silent, thoughtful. Then he spoke. He said, there is nothing more sacred than truthfulness. Even if a man loses everything, but has the dignity and the integrity of being truthful, that person can be happy. But if a man gets everything but loses integrity, then everything is cheap and superficial. There can be no inner happiness. No. Mother Earth has told that she can bear any burden upon her except a liar. Those who violate truth are the greatest burden for Mother Earth herself. King Dadichi, King Shibi, they attained immortal fame because they were willing to give up everything, even their own lives, to remain faithful to the truth. You have told me, Gurudev, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guru is supposed to teach us to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to tell us not to surrender. He found a loophole. If he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he is the proprietor of everything that exists, that it will be my greatest good fortune to surrender everything to him. And meditating on Prahlad Maharaj, he told Shukracharya that I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. What would he want me to do? I must preserve and maintain the integrity of Prahlad and live following in his footsteps. Therefore, I will give this brahmachari dwarf whatever he has asked for. When he spoke these words, Shukracharya was infuriated. He said, "You rascal, you fool, you dare to defy my instruction? I curse you. You will lose everything. And you will not even be able to fulfill your promise to him, and you will be imprisoned to suffer." Hare Krishna. Even after that, Bali Maharaj, with folded hands, a loving heart, and a smile on his face, he said to the little dwarf Brahman, "Please take your three steps. It is yours." Little Vaman, who was Upendra, manifested his form as Trivikram. He grew in such size. Only the Lord can do. The Vedas explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, is bigger than the biggest or smaller than the smallest according to his own sweet will. So dwarfs are the smallest. Smallest race of people on the earth is the dwarfs. He became so big that his body covered all directions. He took his first step, went from Patala Loka all the way to the earth planet, and in his second step he covered all the upper planetary systems. Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka. His foot went by Brahmaloka, all the way to the very borderline of the universe. And his foot touched the borderline, and his toe pierced through it. Now, according to the Vedic literatures, the universe is floating within the Karana ocean, the causal ocean, which is emanating from the body of the Supreme Lord, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, in which he is laying. When he pierced the covering with his toe, some drops of water leaked through and washed the lotus feet of Vamanadeva. And that is the origin of the river Ganga on this earth, on this universe. And the demigods, understanding that there is nothing so pure and sacred as this water emanating from the Lord's own body that has washed the Lord's own feet, so sanctified, that the demigods brought that Ganga to the heavenly worlds. And many years later, in the Satya Yuga, King Bhagirath, by his 60,000 years of tapasya, sitting on a rock, brought pacified Mother Ganga and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, it was his greatest ambition to take the water of that Ganges upon his head and then distribute it to the planet Earth, where it fell at Gangotri, and since that time is sanctifying the land of India. With two steps, he covered the universe. Bali Maharaj promised three steps. He wasn't keeping his promise. So Garuda understood this. And he came down and tied up Bali with a rope and brought him before Vamanadeva, who then resumed his little form of a dwarf again. And he said, "Oh, you have promised me three steps. Now you are a criminal. You are a liar. Where am I going to put my third step?" Bali Maharaj was really an object of mercy. Bali Maharaj began to pray. He said, "My Lord, the demigods think that you're merciful to them. But my realization is your mercy to them is not much at all. Your real mercy is to the demons, to the Daityas and the Asuras. Because the demigods, you always empower them to win their wars, and they have great opulence, and they have great power, and they have great prestige, and they have so much facility to enjoy their minds and enjoy their senses, and you protect them all the time. That is your mercy to them. But for my race, we're always being defeated. We're always losing everything. That is greater mercy. Because in this situation, we have the opportunity to turn to you, to take shelter of you." In Mahabharata, Yudhisthira Maharaj asked Krishna, "Why is it?" This is after he was king. "Why is it for 12 years we lost everything? We're your devotees. Why did you banish us to the forest? We're not demons. Duryodhana was a demon. You gave him the kingdom that was our natural right to rule over. You gave it to this envious fraud, Duryodhana, and we were banished to the forest. Why did you allow that to happen to us? We're your devotees. Would you like to know Krishna's answer? Yasyahamanagrinami harishyetadhanam shanai." Krishna said, "When I am kind to my devotee, I give them whatever they want. But when I show my supreme compassion, I take everything away, so that the devotee has nowhere else to turn to except me, take shelter of me, and then I give myself, which is the supreme benediction of all benedictions." The Braj Gopis prayed like this. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan from Mathura, the Gopis were saying that actually Krishna, Uddhava, answer this question for us. We gave our hearts, we gave our lives, we gave up everything for Krishna, and then he left us. He went to Mathura. We don't mind suffering, but what we mind is this, that we know, we have full realization and experience that there is no real happiness anywhere or everywhere except in Krishna. He's the all-attractive, supreme object of everyone's love. No one could be happy without awakening their love for Krishna. Now, what will the world think if they see that people who give everything to Krishna out of love, and then Krishna leaves them? Nobody will want to love Krishna. No one will want to surrender to Krishna. And we feel very, very deeply concerned for them. So Krishna should take us out of our suffering and come back to Vrindavan for the sake of all humanity for all time to come.
Hare Krishna.
It is a reality. So Bali Maharaj was speaking in this way, that this is the greatest mercy. Look at me now. Just a few minutes ago, I was the king of the universe. And now, not only am I a totally poverty-stricken beggar who has absolutely nothing, but I'm a prisoner. I'm being totally humiliated in front of my wife and all my subjects and all my ministers and all my kingdom. Very humiliating position to be tied with ropes helplessly as a prisoner. He lost his wealth. He lost his prestige. He said, how wonderful. It is your mercy that you've given me this benediction. Then Prahlad Maharaj appeared and expressed his great satisfaction. You have received such mercy, Bali. You have received such mercy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to you. Just worship Him and praise Him and be thankful to Him. And Vindhyavali, his wife, Bali Maharaj's wife, was a great devotee. She was praising her husband's good fortune. And Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, what should I do? The Lord said, you promised me three steps. Where should I put my three step, my third step? And Bali Maharaj, with a heart full of love and satisfaction, he said, my Lord, I've already given you everything. There's only one thing left. My life. I have not given you my life. And that's what bhakti is all about. I still have, all my property has been given except this little body. I haven't given you my body and I haven't given you my heart. My Lord, please accept that. Place your third step on top of my head. Bali Maharaj is famous throughout all eternity for his service of Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to the Lord. Vamanadeva rejoiced. Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj was in ecstasy. Vindhyavali, his wife, was so happy. And most of all, Bali Maharaj was experiencing an inner wealth, an inner peace, an inner ecstasy, ananda, that he had never felt before. Vamanadeva told him that because you are so humble, so honest, and so devoted, you have conquered me. I cannot give up your company. I will give you a planet that is greater than that of the demigods, Sutala Loka. And you will be the king of Sutala Loka. And myself, just to have your association, I will personally take the role of your doorkeeper. In this way you will always see me and your heart will always feel the love of my presence. This is bhakti. Krishna tells in Gita, Bhaktya Tvana Nirgashakyam Aham Evam Vidurjana Gyatam Drastam Chatatvena Praveshtam Chaparantapa. It is only by undivided devotion that I can be understood as I am. By the power of bhakti, we purchase Krishna. By the power of our love, Krishna is conquered. Krishna told the Braj Gopis under the Bansibad tree in Vrindavan forest that your love for me is so deep and so pure, and the service that you have rendered to me, although it was so simple, they were just cowherd girls. He said, the service that you have rendered to me is so simple, but so pure, that although I am the Lord of all creation and the proprietor of everything that exists, I am unable to repay you, even in a lifetime of Lord Brahma. So my humble request is, please be satisfied with that devotion within your heart. Yes. Bali Maharaj, he conquered the Lord by his humility, his honesty, and his surrender. Prahlad Maharaj said, I will also go to reside in Sutala Loka. He was so proud of his grandson. And he was given residence in that place. Prahlad Maharaj was there with him. His family was there with him. His wife was supremely happy by the turn of events. And Lord Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana Vaikuntha, lives there in Sutala as the humble doorkeeper of Bali. Why? So that Bali all day long, every day, could see the beauty of the most precious object of his affection, the Supreme Lord. And the Lord can reciprocate by seeing his devotee. Tateno kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam hridvagpapur birvatatam namaste jivetiya mukti pade sadayavak. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this very jewel-like verse is spoken by Lord Brahma. That one who is put in a very difficult predicament, in a serious crisis in life, and that person with folded palms bows down to the Lord with a grateful heart, that person alone is liberation, rightful claim. Bali Maharaj personified this to the greatest extent. It is true. Every situation in life is an opportunity to go deeper into our spirituality. Every situation of life, no matter what it is an opportunity to come closer to God. And this is real intelligence. How to utilize each opportunity for the highest purpose. In good times or in bad times, in victory or defeat, honor or dishonor, pleasure or pain, health or disease, success or failure, in all the different situations of life, the opportunity is there to turn to God, to take shelter of the Lord. And one who is in a condition of serious crisis and difficulty does not complain, but with folded palms says, Krishna, I deserve so much worse. You are so kind. You are so mercifully. You are giving me yourself. I bow down to you. That person attains the highest perfection. If we cannot do that, we cannot transcend birth and death. Bali Maharaj was the emblem personified of this principle.
Hare Krishna.
Going. So in difficulty you can take shelter of the Lord.
I know.
Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Very happy to see you. Say one more thing. This will only take 2 minutes. 2 minutes. After all this happened, Shukracharya, should we go back to him? He saw everything happen. His whole heart was transformed. Oh, how he was blessing Bali Maharaj. He's saying, you are better than me. Look what you have done. His life was completely transformed. His materialistic conceptions were purified. And he was so proudly bestowing infinite, immense blessings upon Bali Maharaj for making the right choice and for getting the ultimate goal of life. And then Shukracharya said, all these ceremonies and all these mantras and all of everything I'm doing here, all these rituals are very difficult. Even if there's the slightest fall in execution of one of them, everything could be spoiled. But then Shukracharya said, but there is one great benediction, the chanting of the Lord's holy names. Because the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can invoke the divine presence of the Lord and resolve all conflicts and all faults within our hearts. Therefore, there is no greater benediction, there is no greater treasure than the chanting of God's holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Shukracharya was very happy. And we are very happy. And we will end now. I wish to thank you very, very, very much. Hari Bol.